This morning, I want to talk to you about your future. And I am not going to read anybody's palms. I'm not going to get out a deck of cards and use a deck of cards. We're not going to call a psychic hotline. I am going to talk about your future this morning, and I'm going to do that by using the Bible. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at a story, and you probably have already guessed who that story is about. It's about Abram, the man who God changed his name to Abraham. There's some things in the story of Abraham's life, especially what was going on at this particular time, that teach us an important lesson. It teaches us that what we do today determines what happens tomorrow. And you might think, well, Pastor, you know, this might be a good message for those young people that are here, but, you know, I'm in my 60s, in my 70s, and in my 80s. Well, I'll just remind you that when this was going on in Abraham's life, he was about 75 years old. And so I think the message that God has is a message that will apply to every single one of us this morning. So I want you to listen for the next 20 minutes or so, and I want to talk to you about your future. At this particular time, Abraham had been instructed by God to leave his home, Ur of the Chaldees, which is about where Kuwait is today. And he said, I want you to go to a place, and I'll show you when you get to that place. He said, I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm not going to tell you where I'm directing you to go. I just want you to get started. And when you get there, I will tell you. And the place that God brought him to was the nation of Israel that we know today. Back in the Bible, it was called the land of Canaan. And in the Bible, the land of Canaan always pictures the perfect will for a person's life. In other words, when Abraham, or Abram as he was known at that particular time, got to the land of Canaan, he was exactly, geographically speaking, he was exactly where God wanted him to be. I mean, he didn't want him to be in Ur of the Chaldees, where he started out. He didn't even want him to be in the land of Haran. That's where he stopped when his father was still alive and dwelt there for a while. That was closer to where God wanted him to be. But God wanted him in the land of Canaan. And when he got there, he was in the center of God's will. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. Now, I'll remind you as I get started this morning that God has a will for each of our lives. Every single person in this room, from John back over in this corner to Ryan back over in this corner, all the way to the front, everybody in between, don't care how old you are, don't care what your life has been up till this point, God has a will for your life, for the rest of your days that you're going to spend on this earth. God has a will for you. He has a place, for example, that He wants you to live. If you're still working, He has a place He wants you to work, an occupation that He wants you to do. I hope it's His will. I pray that it's His will, that this is the church that He wants you in. And for every area of our life, you see, God is a God of details. You can't help but see that when you read the Bible. He is a God of details. And in a detailed way, He has a plan for each one of our lives. And I want to tell you this morning that the best place for us to live as Christians is to find that will that God, the detailed will that God has for our lives, and get right in the middle of it. The best place, the happiest place for a Christian to live is right where God wants them to live. We sing that song. We're going to sing it for our invitation today. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So Abraham is in God's will. He's living in a place where God wants him to live, in the land of Canaan. And I want you to remember, in the Bible, Abraham was a great man. He's the only man in the Bible that's called the friend of God. Can you imagine that? The only man in the Bible that phrase is used to describe, a friend of God. What a wonderful phrase to have associated with your name. He was the father of God's chosen people. I mean, he was the father of all the Hebrews, the father of all the Jews. And so he's living in the land of Canaan, and some bad circumstances come up. A famine came into the land. And the Bible says it was a grievous famine. The pickings were slim. The crops were, they didn't have very good gardens that year. I mean, maybe it was dry. Maybe they didn't get any rain. But there came a famine. They sort of got down to the last few jars of green beans in the cupboards. And, of course, they didn't have freezers back there, but just let me paint the picture. The freezer was getting bare. And, you know, it's easy to trust God when the pantry is full. It's easy to trust God when you got plenty of meat in the freezer and you got lots of money in the bank and you're working 40, 50 hours of a week. But when things get tight, when things get a little bit harder, here's what we want to do. We want to help God out. I mean, when things are going good, it's easy for us to say, trust and obey. I trust God that He knows what He's doing. And I'm going to be obedient to Him. Like Teresa's saying, I'm going to go down the road regardless of what it costs. Because everything's going good. But when things get a little tight, when famine comes into our life, here's what we want to do. We want to help God out. I've mentioned before about a sign, a church sign that I see every time I go to work and every time I come to church. And I like what they put up on their church sign the last few weeks. It said this, make God laugh. Tell Him your plans. Make God laugh. Tell Him your plans. Yeah, He'll get a chuckle out of that. I mean, because I'll tell you what, the plans that God has for your life, the will that God has for your life are so much better than anything that we can come up with that when we get off on this deal where we say, well, I've got to help God out because things are getting a little tight, famine's come, I'm down to the last few jar of green beans and the freezer's about to run out, I got to help God out. And that's what Abraham was saying. He said, well, I know it was God's plan for me to be here in Canaan, but the crops aren't doing so good and the animals are starting to die. Sure looks a whole lot better down in Egypt. I think I'll just go run down to Egypt for a while. And how many of us have been guilty of that same thing when things get rough and they get a little tight? We sort of take the control of our life back from God and we say, well, I better drive the ship for a little bit. Things are getting a little tough. And I think my plans might be a little bit better than your plans. That's exactly what Abraham did. He said, I know I'm supposed to be here in Canaan, but I'm going to go down to Egypt. I don't trust God where He's led me to be, so I'm going to go down to Egypt. Notice the word that the Bible uses there in verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. Now you say, well, that's because geographically, Egypt is south of Israel. And so you got to go down from Israel to get to Egypt. Well, it has a spiritual application as well, because any time you leave the will of God, any time you leave the plan that God has for your life, you go down. You go down. Remember when Jonah was running from Nineveh? God said, hey, Jonah, I want you to go preach in Nineveh. Jonah said, no way. I got a better idea. Sort of like, no, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say sort of like Ford, but I don't want to say that. I got a better idea. I'm going to go down to Joppa, and I'm going to catch a ship away from Nineveh. And he went down to Joppa, away from God's will. When Samson went down to the land of Philistines and saw the girl that was going to lead to his destruction, the Bible says he went down to that city. And any time we leave the plan that God has for our life, we go down. And so, famine came to Canaan. And Abraham says, I'm going to go to Egypt. And just like Canaan in the Bible represents the plan, the will that God has for our life, Egypt represents the opposite of that. It represents the world. It represents getting out of God's will. And Abraham made a conscious decision. Listen to me. He didn't just wake up one day in Egypt and say, boy, I wonder how I got here. He just didn't wake up one day down in the middle of Egypt and say, boy, I just don't understand how I got here. He knew exactly how he got there because one day Abraham made a conscious decision. He says, I'm going to leave Canaan. I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to leave the plan that God has for my life, and I'm going to make a different plan, a better plan. I'm going to go down to Egypt. Now, I want to make two simple statements this morning about your future and about my future, about all of our future. I want to use this story as a backdrop. Statement number one, our future is not determined by chance. Our future is determined by the choices that we make today. I'll say it again. Our future is not determined just by chance. Our future is determined by the choices that we make today. We did not get to where we are today just by accident. It didn't happen just by luck. It didn't happen by chance. We are where we are today in our lives because of the choices that we made yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And our future, the place where we'll be tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, it's not just luck. It's not just well, I'll just sit back and see where the waves or the current takes me. The place where we'll be tomorrow will be determined by the choices and the decisions that we make today. Now, I want to remind you, Abraham had a wonderful future in front of him. I mean, when he came to Canaan, God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you like I bless nobody else. You're going to have descendants. Hey, count the stars. If you can count the stars, you're going to have descendants that outnumber the stars. Count the little grains of sand down at the... And by the way, you know, he came from the desert. Count the grains of sand in the desert. Your children are going to outnumber the grains of sand. And by the way, I am going to use your descendants to bless all of humanity. I'm going to use the children that come from you to bless every single person that will ever live. And when Abram decided to leave Canaan, and when he decided to go to Egypt, he added some heartaches and some heartbreak to the plan for his life that God had not intended for him to experience. When he decided to go down to Egypt, and here's what was going to happen. I mean, God had this wonderful plan for his life. When he decided to go down to Egypt, there was a couple things that got added because Abraham took things into his own hands. He was going to have an affair. You say, well, how did that come from him going to Egypt? Well, who did he have an affair with? An Egyptian maid named Hagar. Now, Reg, I may be stepping out on a limb here. You got to help me. But I think the Egyptian maid came from Egypt. Huh? If he hadn't gone down to Egypt, Hagar wouldn't have been living in his household. If he hadn't gone down to Egypt, Sarah couldn't have got this idea and said, well, we need to help God out. We're getting old, and he promised my husband to have all these children. We haven't had any. Why don't you go into my maid who we picked up down in Egypt, and we'll have children by her. And if he hadn't gone down into Egypt, Hagar wouldn't be living there, and he wouldn't have had this affair. As a result of that affair, he had a child, a young man, a little boy by the name of Ishmael. And there came a point when Ishmael was a teenager that Abraham had to kick Ishmael, his son, and Hagar out of the house. He gave him a little bottle of water, and he said, you have to leave. You have to go. Now that had to be, and the Bible talks about it. It was a heartache and a heartbreak to Abraham to have to do that. And if he hadn't made that choice to go down to Egypt, none of those things were in the plan that God had for his life. They were additions, they were detours, they were whatever you want to call them, because Abraham took down, or took into his own, went down to Egypt and took in his own hands the plan that God has for his life. He decided, we're not going to do it God's way, we're going to do it my way. And that, when you get down to the very bottom line of sin, when you cut away all the layers and all the coverings and all the names that we call it, here's what the bottom line of sin is. It's saying to God, I want to do it my way, not your way. That's exactly what sin is. I mean, we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. When the archangel Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. Why was he kicked out of heaven? Because he said to God, I want to be higher than you. I mean, God's plan was for him to be one of the archangels, one of the three in heaven, to be an angel that was beautiful, to be an angel of light, I think the Bible calls him. I mean, he had a prominent place in the plan of God. He said, no, I don't like that plan. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be higher than you are, God. And he was kicked out of heaven. When Adam, in the garden, God said, hey, my plan is for you to live here forever. I want you to stay right here in the Garden of Eden. I want to take care of you. I want you to be my people. Just one rule, don't eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit from the tree in the center of the garden. And what did Adam say? He said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I got a better idea. I'm going to eat the fruit, even though he knew what the consequences is. The Bible says that Eve was deceived by Satan, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. And he made a choice to eat the fruit. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And what we need to learn and understand this morning is that God has a better plan for our life than we do, and we just need to trust him and obey. I was thinking about this a few days ago. I went to Myers. I always learn a lot in Myers. Not from what Myers has, but just the people that go to Myers. And there was this mother, and this little boy must have been 2 years old. And he had picked something up from one of the shelves. I don't know if it was a box of cereal or a box of granola bars or something. And she was trying to get him to put it back on the shelf. And I don't have time to go through the 10-minute dialogue that I stood and listened to. But I tell you what, I just wanted to go over there and slap the kid. I said, put the thing back on the shelf. Because his mother, and you say, oh, you're a child. I'm not a child beater. I mean, you can ask my son. I spanked them when they deserved it. But here was a mother trying to reason with this little two-year-old, saying, put this back on the shelf, honey. It goes back on the shelf. I don't want you to have this. And what he was saying, not your will, mother, my will. I'm going to have this thing. And I get, well, I won't tell you. You know what I wanted to do. I wanted to go over and help that mother out. And I wonder how many times God feels that same way about us. He says, look, I know what's best for you. I got a good plan for your life. It's wonderful. I'm not going to tell you about it because I want you to be pleased and surprised when it comes. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Not just at the 30,000 foot level. I have the details planned for each of your lives. And it's good. Just trust me and be obedient. When I tell you to go down this road, go down this road. When I tell you to live in this place, live in this place. When I tell you to do this job, do this job. When I tell you to marry this person, marry this person. When I tell you to stay married, stay married. When I tell you to go to church, go to church. I mean, he has the details of our life planned. He gives us a set of instructions, and we just need to trust him that he knows what he's doing and be obedient to what he tells us to do. So your future, statement number one, Your future is not determined by chance. My future, the things that are going to happen to me and where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing tomorrow and next month and next year are not chance. They're not by accident. They are a result of the decisions that I make today, the choices I make today. Statement number two, and I got to hurry. The choices that we make today not only determine our future, but the future of others. Now, let me tell you the story real quick. When Abram went down to Egypt, he took Lot with him. Lot was his nephew. Lot's father had died. He was Abraham's brother. And Abraham had taken Lot into his own house to raise him. And so when he left with the will of God, when he left Canaan, he went to Egypt and Lot went with him. They were down there for a while. They came back. God began, because they came back to Canaan, because they got back in the center of his will, God began to bless them. And they both had a lot of animals. And the land was not able to sustain all their animals. And so their herdmen, the Bible says, began to fuss with one another. And Abraham came to Lot and said, "Hey, we're brethren. We're brothers. We're family. We shouldn't be fussing." He said, "Choose you which direction you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. If you want to go over to this part of the land, you take your animals, you take your servants and your family, and you go over here, and I'll go over here. If you want to go over here, I'll go over there. Take your pick, Lot." Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord." This place that Lot looked, it was a well-watered plain. It looked like the Garden of Eden. Listen to the next phrase. "Like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar." Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Abraham said, "Hey, take your choice. You want to go over here? I'll go over there." Lot looked up his eyes over here toward the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw a well-watered plain. It looked like the Garden of Eden. It looked like Egypt. And when Lot was down in Egypt with Uncle Abraham, he said, "Hey, this is not a bad place. I sort of like it." And when he got a choice as to which way he was going to pick, the place that he was going to pick to live, he said, "Hey, I'm going to pick a place that looked like Egypt." When he got to the point that he could make a choice, he made a bad choice. And we know it's bad because of what happened. I mean, God did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot lost his home and all his possessions. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. His two daughters, they committed incest with their father. They had two children that in the history of mankind have led to war and destruction. He made a bad choice. Why? Because of a decision that Abraham made to leave the will of God, to go to Egypt. And while down in Egypt, Lot got those appetites that he wouldn't have got if Abraham would have stayed put. And when he had an opportunity to make a choice for himself, those appetites took over and he made a terrible choice. He chose to go live toward Sodom and Gomorrah. There may be some people that say, "Look, preacher, I'm an adult. I'll make my own decisions, and if they're the wrong decisions, I will pay the price. I'll make my own choices. I'll devise my own plan for my own life, and I'll leave God out of it. And if I'm wrong, then I will pay the price myself. I'm a man enough to be willing to do that. I'm a man enough that if I make the wrong choice and there's a penalty to pay, then I'll pay that price." I'll just remind you real quickly this morning, that's a wonderful philosophy, but what about your children? And what about your grandchildren? Because the choices that we make in our life not only affect our future, but they affect the future of every single person that's around us. Our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, you just go down the line, the choices that we make. affect them. And I don't know about you, but when I go to a grocery store or someplace like that where I see a little kid that says, "No, Mama, I want my own way. I want what I want, and I'm going to have it." And they get stubborn and they clench their fist and they get that resolute look on their face. And it's almost like they seem to say, "Take it away from me if you can." I tell you what, there's just something that gets inside of me. I want to go over there and I just want to shake that kid and say, "Listen to your mother. She knows better than you do what you need." And sometimes I think that's exactly what God wants to do to us. He says, "I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan. Why can't you just trust me? Why can't you just be obedient and go down that road that I tell you to go down?" It's a whole lot better than any choice we can make for ourselves. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this simple reminder from your word. Thank you for being a God that cares enough about us to have a plan for each of our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand that plan is the best plan. Father, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, you would help them understand right now that your plan for their life is for them to be saved. The Bible tells us you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation, and that your plan for that person who might be here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior, your plan for them is for them today to get saved, to understand that they're a sinner, to understand that Jesus went to Calvary to die for them, to understand that if they simply come and receive Christ, they could be saved from their sins, they could be saved from hell. And so I pray, Father, if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that they could understand that your plan is that they be saved. I pray you'd help us as Christians understand that you have a plan for us. And again, I pray, Father, you'd help us to trust you and to be obedient. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something we need to do, help us to do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.